This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
And our wanderer has returned.
The
prodigal son.
I kept coming back in between to do the Five of Fortunes.
You did?
And the stuff. So it was very
it's very good the way that you
trip.
Did that.
Almost
magical, in fact.
Yeah, I managed work and, you know, life. Yeah.
What were you doing anyway? Where were you going? What were you, you know, tell us. What Apatrita?
Phuket.
Phuket, yeah. Doing what?
Destination wedding.
Oh, yeah. your wedding?
No.
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 That would be an entirely different story.
And
you'd sound heavier.
And I'd be a different person. Yeah.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as usual, we're going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us for whatever reason, get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Stories lined up for you today. It's Tech Thursday, technically. See what I did there? So we've got a bunch of tech stories lined up. Chris is rolling her eyes already. It's a good start. Yeah. First story, a painstaking study of how CEOs spend their time found email tends to be ineffective and a dangerous time sink. Why does it need to be a painstaking study? Didn't we already know that?
Apparently, you know, studying CEOs is just a really painstaking endeavor. I don't know.
Okay, and then how you may soon be able to store your entire media collection on one SD card.
Wow.
Arvin, you might be able to get rid of those huge racks of Blu-rays and DVDs. You're never going to do that, are you?
No.
Never. All right, okay, story number three. Creepy. Facebook, it's a Facebook patent, and they imagine triggering your phone's mic when a hidden signal plays on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Story number four, another Facebook-related story. They've got a keyword snooze. So instead of blocking those irritating people, you can now block those irritating words.
Yeah, it's actually for spoilers.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, just in time for Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. When's the next season?
Next year.
Just in time for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so they can fine-tune it and stuff too.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Final story then. This could well be the last year you want to buy headphones. There's a new audio technology coming in 2019 that could make headphones obsolete. Mm-hmm. After some of us have spent an awful lot of money gathering the headphones that we just want. Christine is shaking her head.
I reject that so hard.
Right. So let's start off with this painstaking study of how CEOs spend their time found that emails tend to be ineffective and a dangerous time sink. This is on top of that advert that you often see in Instagram that tells you CEOs, on average, read 60 books per year. Have you seen that one?
No.
You've not seen that?
60 books?
Blinkist, it's called. Shameless plug.
I saw that on my Instagram, and I was just like, I don't remember clicking. Oh, it's
right.
A sponsor post. That's fine.
So anyway, tell us about this story.
Yeah, so for a lot of CEOs, you know, time management tends to be cited as their greatest challenge. And this is actually a study that happened in 2016, but it tracked the time usage of 27 CEOs over 3 months. Those CEOs included 2 women and 25 men. Because I guess that's the ratio that is average now, who led primarily public companies worth an average $13.1 billion. It is the first comprehensive and detailed examination of CEO time usage over an extended period showing how, where, what, and with whom a CEO spends their time. Mm. For the study, each CEO's executive assistant was trained to track and code the CEO's time in 15-minute increments, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So probably that's where the painstaking part comes
in. I can imagine.
Yeah.
My word, so those poor interns.
Yes. Overall, the study collected nearly 60,000 CEO hours, and emailing took up about 24% of that time.
Wow.
Yes. So what the people who did the study said was that CEOs are endlessly copied on what they call FYI emails. They feel pressured to respond because ignoring an email seems rude. And on average, it takes about 6 seconds to check a typical email after it arrives in an inbox. Mm. So it's not really the checking that's the problem. It's more that if you check an email, it's going to take you 25 minutes to get back into that state of productivity you were in before you checked your email.
Got it.
That's according to Adam Alter, who is a New York University professor. So, you know, it's one of those things where for CEOs, I guess, you know, a lot of people, it's not really about talking to the CEOs, but it's always about letting them know what's going on and keeping them in the loop. But emails from a CEO can also create a chain of unnecessary communication and set unrealistic norms, especially if a CEO sends late night or weekend emails. They were also able to link in this study CEO email behavior to overall poor company practice of overusing electronic communication. So, I mean, there are already some, you know, ideas that are trying to cut down on how much people use, you know, technology and the internet and email and such. Like, for example, with Gmail, you can use their smart reply feature to send automatic replies like thank you or not at this time on your behalf after it scans the email content. Also, you know, you have like vacation responders and stuff like that, you know. So I kind of wanted to talk about this because I'm really surprised that email takes so much of these people's time. Like, I don't really know about you guys, but for me, I tend to filter out emails quite quickly.
Yeah.
I will scan them very briefly, but then most of the time it's like a mass kind of like, okay, I'll go through the ones I really need to read, and then I'll scan the ones that I don't really hate, like, that are not really the priority, and then I just delete everything, and it doesn't take me that long.
It doesn't take me that long, to be honest. I mean, on average, I think we get around 100 emails a day.
Yeah.
On average, something like that, easily. But you can go through that, I would assume, most of us, in about, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and you're through. Sometimes a little bit quicker, depending on what it is. Mm. But I suspect that because we're not CEOs and we're not copying these huge emails that could have, you know, greater impact and stuff. For us, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But do CEOs actually reply to that many emails?
That's what I was thinking.
You read these
stories about how CEOs reply, you know, their emails, you know, are very, very small. You know, they use very few words, you know, for example. Rather, a lot of us, like, it kind of... Well, I can be guilty of it, writing a very long email, when in reality, they just kind of write two or three sentences, done, boom, gone.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about like CEOs of like startups and stuff, then yeah, sure, you know, it depends what kind of CEO. But if you're, you know, CEOs of like corporate companies and huge companies, they're not sitting down replying to any emails. I mean, they do, but only to like certain very select important people.
Yeah.
I mean, my kind of point with this is that I was reading this article and I was like, these executive assistants that they have are tracking their time but can't help them answer their emails.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you already do have an assistant like that, like, why are you spending so much time on your emails in the first place? Mm. Surely, you know, you can help, like, there can be a vetting process, but that's actually what was suggested, that the people who did the study said that there should be a message filter controlled by the assistant.
Mm.
So, like, I don't understand why it doesn't occur to them to just do that. Mm. If you can hire someone to help you with all your stuff, that's kind of like the point of an assistant, I think.
Yeah, right.
You know? And the other thing is that what they said was email interrupts work, extends the workday, intrudes on time for family and thinking, and is not conducive to thoughtful discussions. CEOs have to stay human and authentic, and you can't do that via email.
There's nothing worse than when you're sat having dinner and your phone just goes bing.
Oh yeah, and that's why it's
not a WhatsApp message; it's an email, and you.
Mm. Oh. I just put everything on Do Not Disturb. I've turned off the like automatic refreshing of my email because I can't.
Has it made a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. If I'm on holiday, I tend to check my email, but that's just because I'll like kind of do it like in the morning or something like that and get it done.
Mm.
But usually when I go home, I don't talk to you guys, basically.
Well, let's have some words from somebody who's had some recent experience with being out of the country and you know, receiving emails whilst away. How did you manage it whilst you were away?
So, you know, when you're in like a bus or like a taxi or something from one place to another, so you don't have Wi-Fi because you're overseas, that's when you delete your emails. Because Gmail syncs up with like everything. It downloads the emails and stuff. You delete all the messages that you don't want. You read them and stuff. And then when you get Wi-Fi at the hotel, it just syncs up and everything's clear. Mm. So since you have nothing to do in the taxis or the buses and stuff from one place to another or when getting onto the airport, so that's when you clear your email. So when you come back to work, there's not like 450 or 500 you know, messages for you to read and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I do. But
you're still technically doing work whilst you're on holiday, though, by doing that.
I'm not replying to emails.
Right.
So I don't like read them and I don't
see. I told you wouldn't reply.
So I'm not sending people back. So those I just leave as like unread or like star them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones that I know I can delete, like I've read and just like push it aside, that I do in like the van or whatever from one place to another.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. Folks at home, let us know, how do you deal with the barrage of emails that you get on a daily basis? You know, how do you deal with them? Do you set time aside in the morning, in the afternoon, or do you constantly check your stuff? Keen to find out. 018-789-8899. On WhatsApp or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Let's move on very quickly to story number two. It's all about the SD cards, right? How many SD cards do you have at home?
Like one or two?
One or two?
I have about two or three.
Two or three,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We've got a video department here and of course we use audio record. There's hundreds knocking around somewhere. And if you lose one of those SD cards, it's often the one that has the most important stuff on it. It's got
always
that interview that you did 3 years ago that you really liked, you know. But anyway, obviously the storage size of these things can go up to about, I think right now the limit is about a terabyte and they're pretty expensive. But, so this is a new one. A single SD card might someday be enough to hold your entire media collection, no matter how huge it is. The SD Association, the group that sets memory card standards, just announced a new format called SD Express, which adds PCI Express and other interfaces to the card. So one big takeaway here is that it ramps up data speeds. Right, so do you know the average data speed transfer? I know it's a bit techie. The data feed speed transfers for SD cards, by any chance. Do you know
no.
that?
No.
No? So your average SD card has a transfer speed of 4 megabytes per second, right?
Okay.
The ultra ones that most people use for professional cameras goes from between 10 and 80 megabytes per second.
Oh, those are the numbers, okay. The 10 and the 4. Okay,
there you go.
Okay.
This new one will up that to 985 megabytes per second.
That's a lot of megabytes.
It's pretty fast. And it also bumps up the maximum capacity of the cards from 2 terabytes to 128 terabytes of data.
Well, then.
On an SD card. Essentially, it can replace all of your hard drives, unless you need a faster speed. Now, in real terms, you could squeeze more than 25,000 HD movies onto one SD card. Arvin, are you listening closely?
Yep.
Assuming a typical photo size is around 500 kilobytes, the highest end SD card could house 256 million photographs. It could hold 25.6 million songs, and two would be enough to store Spotify's entire library of 35 million tunes.
Wow.
Right? But more practically, SD cards with greater storage capacities and transfer speeds than we've ever seen before should be a boon for people like video creators shooting in 4K, 8K, or VR. But it's important to remember that the 128 terabyte capacity is a theoretical limit. Even 1 terabyte cards are rare, and 512 gigabyte cards cost hundreds of dollars. So be prepared to take out a few mortgages if you want that 128 terabyte card. But that's a huge leap.
Yeah, but it'll never go mainstream.
It won't go mainstream, not soon.
Especially with phones.
Right.
Companies won't allow this to happen because then you won't upgrade your phone. You know, you'll never buy a new phone in like 10 years because you'll still have the.
But that transfer speed is insane.
Yeah.
Just got my hopes up though. Jeez.
Right. You've got an Apple phone anyway, so we can't upgrade it.
It's not even that. It's more just about, you know, I was hoping that I could back up my laptop without having to use a clunky hard drive.
That's true. I could do with that too. They're a real pain in the bottom.
But they could sell this to film companies.
Yes.
Making like indie films and stuff.
True.
They don't, because they went from film to using like digital and like hard drives and stuff, and now they just need SD cards.
That's right.
It could help them.
Indeed. Mm. Right. So we have some music.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a short break. We've got some Black Rebel Motorcycle Club coming up with Love Burns. Don't forget, we're asking you how you deal with the barrage of emails that you get on a daily basis. Let us know, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Time for a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
We started off today's show with a story about a painstaking study of how CEOs spend their time, and it found that email tends to be ineffective and a dangerous time sink. We already knew that.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of responses. What have we had regarding that one?
Yeah, so this is from Kyrul, who just says that he's also constantly checking his emails, so. You know what? I guess everyone has a similar problem.
Right.
But we also had a lot more responses about the second story that we covered today.
The SD cards.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again from Kyrul, just to ask if that was an SD card or a micro SD card that we were talking about.
It's an SD card.
Yes. And so that's for you. And then from @ramblingmind on Twitter, who just asked, what's the life cycle for those new SD cards?
They're looking at about 100,000 rewrites, which is probably a pretty long life cycle and likely they'll last us. They'll outlast us, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing an awful lot of writing, to-ing and fro-ing of the SD-ing.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, what am I rambling about? Thank you, Rambling Mind. Was it Rambling Mind?
It was at Rambling Mind.
Makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Right. Moving on to story number three. It's about, we mentioned it in the start of the show, about this keyword snooze. Arvind, you were saying it's, story number three. I do apologize. It is...
still Facebook related.
The Facebook related, yep. But it's triggering the mic, isn't it? That's I got the wrong story, didn't I?
Oh, Rich.
I do apologize.
It's all Facebook stories.
I told you, I didn't get much sleep last night.
You need to take a nap.
I need to take a nap. I'm getting old. Right. So you've seen a whole bunch of ads. I've been running a TV on its full. Anyway, Christine, just tell us a story.
Okay,
I'm gonna shut up.
I'll take over from Richard's rambling brain. So as if Facebook wasn't creepy enough, it was published recently that Facebook has filed a patent application. It was filed in December of 2016, so you know it was filed a long time ago, but they're only now publishing that they have filed it.
I see what they're doing.
So based on this recently published patent application, Facebook could one day use ads on television to further violate your privacy once you've forgotten about all those other times that they've also violated your privacy.
Which is every time you log on to the damn thing.
Pretty much. The patent is titled, quote, "Broadcast Content View Analysis Based on Ambient Audio Recording." And it describes a system in which an ambient audio fingerprint or signature that is inaudible to the human ear that it could be embedded in a broadcast content like a TV ad. When a hypothetical user is watching this ad, the audio fingerprint could trigger your smartphone or another device to turn on the microphone on that device, record audio, and transmit data about it to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So one example scenario would be that various ambient audio would be eliminated and the content playing on the broadcast would be identified. Data would be collected about the user's proximity to the audio, and then the identifying info, time, and identity of the Facebook user would be sent to Facebook for further processing. Now, everything in the patent is kind of vague. It doesn't actually specify what they would kind of do with the audio data, but an idea that they could use this for is to figure out which ads are most effective. In the US, I believe that they are actually running ads on TV to apologize for abusing users' privacy, funnily enough. But in order to kind of, let's say they partnered with like a certain company that like sold something, and then they would embed, you know, this audio information into that ad, right? If a user then walks away from the TV when that ad plays or change the channel as soon as the ad begins to play, it might consider the ad ineffective or on a subject that the user doesn't find interesting. If the user stays where they are and the audio is loud and clear, Facebook could compare that seemingly effective ad with your other data to make better suggestions for its advertising clients.
I've heard of something like this before.
Yeah, I'm sure it already exists. And I love that this comes after Facebook has tried to prove that they don't listen to our conversations already.
Yet we've kind of shown.
Which, you know.
Yeah.
That they do.
That they do.
Yeah.
But I just, it's really one of those things where it's, I mean, I've said many times on the show that I've resigned myself to just being owned by Facebook, basically as like a internet slave, really. But to let that go towards, you know, it's almost like breaking the fourth wall for me, where it's not just contained within my mobile device or my laptop, but now it's also mainstream, you know, broadcast stuff, because it could be TV, it could be radio as well, which terrifies me.
Right.
Oh. You know?
Have they started to do this already, or do they just have like a patent?
They've just filed the patent. They filed it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
They've just left it there.
But then there's a lot of companies that use technology and they still have that patent pending thing, right?
Exactly.
I don't know, like 50% of me thinks this is like creepy and like, you know, they're like spying on you and stuff. The other 50% is like, this is so cool.
It's very clever.
It's very clever.
It's very clever.
It's like subliminal messaging and stuff that they hide in like old songs and stuff. Only those things are not so intrusive. This one, I mean, from an advertiser's point of view, if you can send like hidden signals in your TV channels and then Facebook picks up on it and then they can tell you, like they are like the data centers who can tell you how much your ads are working or if people are getting up. I'm sure they have ways of detecting that already because they'll know, like, you know, who's switching channels and stuff. But now with so much detail, it's so cool. Mm. It's wrong, but it's so, so cool.
See, my issue with it, though, is that it triggers the recording. It triggers the mic in your device, which will not just record the audio from your TV or whatever. Like, most of the time when I'm watching something, I'm doing something else at the same time.
Right.
Or I'm talking to someone.
Yeah.
Like, so you would not know that your... The other thing is that it doesn't say anything about your phone, like, notifying you that it's recording something, for example.
Mm.
So you could be having a really private conversation or a really, like, you know, let's say that, like, there are two CEOs of companies talking about some sort of secret deal or something, and you could be having that conversation and being recorded without you knowing.
Yeah.
That's what terrifies me.
Their defense to that will be, well, it's just a bot listening to the audio. They're just analyzing... At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether or not it's a bot. It's that audio is captured and stored somewhere. And if somebody wanted to, and they were capable of doing so, they could listen into that audio, you know, directly, which is an invasion of privacy again.
Are we becoming, like, numb towards it? Because I know, like, I've just, like, you know, the fact that my phone listens to me is something that I've, like, I can live with.
Right.
Or I've learned to live with because I don't have a choice. I
That's the thing, though, Arv, you know, we are left without a choice, you know. And, you know, we talk about Luddites and how they turn things around and they railed against the machine. I foresee a future where, you know, you've got a distinct division amongst people, where there'll be people like just accepting it and dealing with it and like, we have no choice, this is our future. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have a whole bunch of people saying, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to start using two tin cans and a piece of string to talk to people or smoke signals. But I mean, you know, I think it's getting to that point where some people are so annoyed with it and so irritated with it that they're going to do something drastic.
And give up their technology.
And give up technology almost altogether, yeah.
I honestly can't read or consume dystopian fiction media anymore because it's not fiction. Yeah. We are living in a dystopian society. It's already happening.
Yeah. I mean, look at China. The data sets that they're collecting and they've got cameras everywhere. And
a social credit system?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, you know. Anyway, on a happy thought on a Thursday afternoon, it sounds like we should play some music from the USSR. So let's have some Beatles back in the USSR here on BFM 89.9. When we get back, another Facebook story about snoozing buzzwords or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Varaj
and Christine Wong.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock. So you've got another 25 minutes if you've got any questions regarding the SD cards, or if you want to talk to us about how CEOs spend their time fiddling around with emails when none of us really should be doing that. You know, how do you deal with your barrage of emails? You know, do you spend time in the morning doing it, time in the evening, or do you do it all day like some of us fools do? Let us know. 018-789-8899. I've had a sip of coffee. I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yay.
Moving on to story number four. Keyword snoozing. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Facebook is testing out a new feature called Keyword Snooze, and it's supposed to hide words or phrases from your feed.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yes,
you can hide that.
That's what they should have called it.
Right.
Yeah. So Keyword Snooze is a new option for a small group of users now, because it's like a small test group. And if you're in this test group, then you'll see a feature in the right-hand menu of your posts. If you tap the menu button, then you'll get an option to temporarily hide a post based on keyword Facebook selectively picks or cherry picks directly from the post. Yeah.
You know who else does this? Reddit.
They do.
You can keyword snooze. It's a very smart thing. I managed to snooze Trump throughout the entire election. And then, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway,
so,
sorry.
No, they had one. Chrome had one. Chrome came out with an extension before The Force Awakens came out.
Mm.
So Disney didn't want people spoiling The Force Awakens, so they had a Chrome extension that you can install.
Brilliant.
So anyone who says Star Wars or Darth something or Kylo Ren or whatever just gets blocked from your feed. Yeah, so they could do it. And anything, even if you read news or like headlines or Google searches, if it had any keyword to do with Star Wars, it would block out that word. So you wouldn't be able to see news indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now Facebook is testing out the same feature for their feeds. If you decide to snooze one of those keywords, then you won't see posts in your news feed with that exact word or phrase from any friend, group, or page for 30 days. They had a few controls like this in the past. So past controls included the ability to unfollow a single friend, which was useful if you want full control over that friend. And then
that sounds a bit weird.
Yeah. No, not in a weird way. Less weird than what Facebook does. So they had this kind of 30-day blocking thing before, but now with the keyword snooze, you can sort of monitor your whole feed at the same time. So anything that pops up in your feed that you don't want to see, you will not see.
I think this is useful.
I do think it's useful, but I also feel like we have to be careful because Facebook and social media is already so much of an echo chamber nowadays you know, for example, with Trump, for example, if you do snooze that word, you won't be updated constantly with everything that he does that is terrible, but you won't be updated with what he does that is terrible.
Right.
You know, so it's really, you know, you have to be really careful. And I know that it's like a 30-day thing, but you also might be like, especially if it's like a news thing that you don't want to read about or whatever, like after 30 days, you might suddenly be inundated with all that content at once, which I don't know if that's more or less helpful.
Mm.
Right. So for spoilers and stuff, I totally get it. And like, yes, we need to not do that. If people don't want to see spoilers, that's a good time. But for things that are a bit more hard-hitting, I don't know if it will be almost more unhealthy to be able to snooze those terms so that you don't get to see that point of view for a month.
Yeah, they really should have called it You Know Nothing.
You Know Nothing, yeah. So that's exactly what they've said. They've said that it could create more echo chambers. The biggest problem with them is they're trying to fight fake news and trying to get more people aware of what the actual news is. But if they start blocking out things that they don't want to see, then it becomes a smaller bubble. Then they start blocking out diverse opinions and opinions from other people or people that they don't want to talk about. I think people are mainly focusing on the spoiler aspect of it first, for now, for TV shows and stuff. But yeah, it could create like echo chambers and stuff.
I mean, I have unfriended people due to spoilers. I mean, I know that sounds a bit extreme, but I have. I mean, you know, if you don't have the sensibility to think about other people when you're talking about stuff, I think that kind of, you know, it explains the kind of character that you are.
It's the principle of the thing. Yeah, it's exactly. Just respecting what people want and don't want to get out of their media experience. Like, right. I don't mind spoilers most of the time, but I would never, like, just post spoilers randomly because I know that other people don't like it. Because it's about empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I hate spoilers. Yeah. If I've unfollowed people on like Instagram and stuff. I was just playing like God of War and then someone posted like a screenshot. I didn't see what it was, but I knew it was God of War and I immediately just unfollowed him.
Right,
it's like,
right.
I know it's harsh, but you know.
Well, you've spent your hard-earned money to have enjoyment for something that you don't want ruining by somebody else.
No, and I have, and if I'm not at that point yet, then I don't want to see it on someone's screenshot. I want to, you know, see it for myself.
Yeah.
Same thing with shows and stuff like Game of Thrones and all.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone telling me anything before I see it.
Well, let's have a bit of fun. If you're feeling game, folks at home, what words would you, given the choice, block from your Facebook feed? What words would you snooze?
At the moment, it would be wedding.
Wedding.
I'm so sorry. I mean, I love celebrating people's like marital happiness, but I'm not in a fantastic place for that right now, and I would prefer to not think about happiness for 30 days.
Okay.
That helps too. I mean, in a way that helps, right? I mean, if you don't want to see certain things, if someone's posting about something that you don't want to talk about at the moment, then it helps. Yeah, like keyword snoozes and stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a short break. It's My Vitriol with Always Your Way here on VFM 89.9. When we get back, our final story of the day about how you might soon be able to ditch the cables and the things on your ears. We might be able to get rid of headphones very shortly. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to BizBytes, folks. It's our final story of the day, and it's kind of appropriate given our job and what we do. We spend, 95% of our day in headphones?
Oh, yeah.
One way or another. And I can tell you now, you know, it's great to shut yourself off from the world, but over time, it damages your hearing.
Yeah.
It can cause ear infections and a whole bunch of other stuff. It can alter the way in which you hear and interpret the real world, because we do hide in our little audio world a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new company called Noveto, and what they are saying is that headphones may start to look like old technology in 2019 when this company showcases their new thing called Focused Audio. A couple of months ago, we spoke about focused TVs, I believe, as well, right?
Focused pixels.
Focused pixels. That was a really interesting idea.
Yes.
Same kind of principle, except it uses audio. So they've come up with new technology that can do exactly the same thing as headphones, delivering sound right to your ears without disturbing those around you, except without the headphones themselves. In fact, you don't need to wear a device at all. So focused audio can come either from a standalone device, which the company is calling the Solo for now, that looks like a small soundbar or a Bluetooth speaker, or from any device that usually makes sound, like a TV, computer monitor, smartphone, or even a tablet.
Right.
Or even things like a treadmill can come with Noveto's technology built in. It emits audio directly to your ears. And there's a guy who was at the demo, and he was saying, look, it's amazing. During this demo, he was listening to a video clip that he could hear loud and clear, but no one around him could. And he wasn't wearing any headphones or anything on his head or anything on his arms or anything. Now, if it sounds familiar, you might be thinking of directional audio, which shoots sound in front of the device emitting it. And if you're not directly in front of that directional audio speaker, you're not going to hear it, right? We've heard about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Noveto is slightly different. It's steerable. Right. So what that means is they have this focused audio that can follow you around as you move, something that directional audio can't do. So to follow you around, it uses 3D tracking technology to see where your ears are, and it delivers audio directly to your ears.
Whoa.
Right.
Ooh.
So basically what it does is it, you know, like the Apple phone that projects infrared to your face
to
like unlock your phone. It uses a very similar technology to do that, to figure out where your ears are, and then will project it directly to your ears.
Nice. Finally, I can listen to music while I swim.
Hey, well, maybe, yeah.
Because that is a big problem, you know? Yeah. Like, that's really, one of the big reasons why I don't actually swim as much, is because I can't, you know, listen to music and get into the groove of the exercising thing. And that's why I go on a treadmill instead, because I can listen to music on earphones.
There you go.
But now there's a chance.
Now there's a chance. Now, it's at a prototype state right now, but they're already saying it should be out by 2019. And what they've said is that, you know, we're not going to replace a $10,000 home audio system, but they can replace 80% of what's already out there. I mean, if you're thinking consumer electronics and consumer speakers, the quality of those things isn't great. Apparently, this stuff is just as good as that, and should be available by autumn 2019.
So, where is the device? Like, what's shooting the audio at you?
There's a speaker inside it, and what it does, it emits it in a different frequency, and it's very, very limited. It's like a laser beam almost. So it literally tracks where your ears are and fires audio at just your ears.
But it can be in like any sort of sound broadcasting device, essentially.
Yeah.
But you have to be within the...
You have to be within a certain range of it for it to be able to do that.
Okay.
But, you know, you could... Let's say, for example, you're sat in the back of a large vehicle and you've got your TV screen in front of you and your passenger has another TV screen in front of them. You could have it that close that those two will not hear the audio from the other one, because it's literally directly in front of it.
Whoa.
Okay. It's very smart.
Okay.
So, okay, my main problem with this, though, is more that headphones are also a visual cue for people to kind of know that you're listening to something. With this device, it'll be very... Like, for example, let's say that device is, like, in a bus or something, and you are so busy listening to what you're listening to that you don't hear your stop.
Right.
For example, right? So it's more about, you know, having that visual cue that someone is listening to something, and if you need to notify them of something or to get them to stop listening to it,
right,
you won't be able to, because you don't know if they're listening to something in the first place.
And that's the thing they're kind of focused on, though. They've said the focus is to give a personal, private audio listening without wearing something on your head and ears while staying aware of your surroundings. So when you're watching something using this and you're listening to the audio coming from it,
right,
you can still hear your surroundings. You know,
it's not totally noise canceling or anything like that.
Which is for them, it's kind of a bit of a safety feature as well.
Of course, yeah.
So if you were in like a classroom with a few people who didn't understand English, then they could blast audio in like five different languages.
Correct.
And then each person could listen to it in their own language.
Correct.
And like take a common exam.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Whoa. So you could watch a movie in different languages.
Correct.
And then you can be like in the same cinema, but each of you could be watching it in your own language.
We would no longer need subtitles.
Well, yes. Also,
if they use that pixel technology you were talking about as well, you could use one movie theater to screen multiple movies in multiple languages.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say, though, I love subtitles, so let's not get rid of those. Please.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
So this is game-changing for stuff like, you know, movie theaters.
So you could have like one huge Coliseum-sized cinema,
and
everyone can be watching like a different movie.
Exactly. Genius,
for the
right?
price of like different tickets.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
My God.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
That's the end of... our tech-based...
That's a high note. That's
a good story, right?
It's
a good story,
yeah.
I love headphones. Yeah, I'm very partial to headphones.
I'm old school.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But there you go. I mean, this is the price we have to pay for, advancing our species and consumption of media.
Woo, progress.
Woo, progress. Right. Right, okay. That's the end of our show for today. Thank you very much for giving us feedback and messaging us regarding the couple of stories that we had. Let's start off with the first story then. What we'll do is we'll cover what we have talked about today, just in case you missed any part of this show, so you can listen back on the podcast a little bit later.
Yeah, so we started off with talking about how emailing takes up apparently about 24% of a general CEO's time. And, you know, we asked you guys about what you do with the emails that you receive.
Mm. Most people, it seems, read them all at once.
Yes.
And continuously. Forever. Then we spoke about how you may soon be able to store your entire media collection on one SD card. It's a new format called SD Express, 985 megabytes per second transfer rates and 128 terabyte of Mac storage.
And then we talked about how, again, if Facebook wasn't already creepy and invasive enough, they have found a patent that imagines triggering your phone's mic when a hidden signal plays on your TV.
Then we spoke about how Facebook's keyword snooze lets you block spoilers and other unwanted topics.
Yeah, and then the final story, of course, was about the fact that we may soon be able to get rid of headphones and by using this technology by a company called Noveto, where they do it's sound that goes directly to your ears without having to wear headphones.
That is one of the coolest things I've heard about, like, what, this year?
This year?
Yeah.
The one that you talked about with the Pixels and this, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, that's all the time we have for today. But don't forget, we will be back tomorrow, same time, same place, at noon. But there's more stuff coming up after the 1 o'clock news. It is the Breakfast Grill replay. As Malaysia navigates its first government transition, how is the international business community reacting to these changes? The Breakfast Grill spoke with Michael Michalak from the US ASEAN Business Council on their outlook for Malaysia and trends in their region. Our region. The region. Mm-hmm. That's all coming up after 1 o'clock. Don't forget, more music now. It is a bit of T-Rex with 20th Century Boy here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.